Welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by Sightloss charity Beacon Centre for the Sightloss community. Unfortunately, due to the unprecedented impact of COVID-19 and updated government guidance, Talking News currently cannot be distributed in CD format. The health and safety of our staff, volunteers and listeners is our main priority, and therefore we have taken the difficult decision not to distribute CDs to our loyal listeners until further notice and safe to do so. We are sorry for any inconvenience caused during this time. We are pleased to inform you that the Talking News service is continuing as an online podcast. This will be available via our website each week. The direct link can be found on our social media pages. You can also stream our Talking News service on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the British Wireless for the Blind application, and on the podcast section of the Black Country Radio website. Simply search for Beacon Black Country Talking News and subscribe to the podcast. Whilst the coronavirus pandemic continues, we will not be reporting on any community or sporting events due to cancellations and postponements. Thank you for bearing with us at this challenging time. Hello. This week's edition of the Black Country Talking News is for the 20th of May 2020 with me, Simon, Christine, Pete, Mina, Ian, Helen, two Steves, Roger, Angela and Kez. This week we have a roundup of local news and news from our local councils, a weekly quiz, Black Country History, where we look at the life and career of a football icon born and bred here in the Black Country, Duncan Edwards, our weekly Talking Book Review, Sightloss News, where this week we look at a little known condition called Irlen Syndrome, our flashback section looking at events from this week in history, environmental and sustainability ideas for the kitchen, the weather for the bank holiday weekend and next week, an update from Beacon, plus a brand new item, a brain teaser to get you all thinking. And let's start off with some local news then with Christine and Angela, but first here's Ian.
City of Wolverhampton Council has been carrying out essential highway maintenance works across the city whilst the roads have been quieter during the lockdown period. Contractor Keeley Brothers Limited has transformed key routes including Finchfield Road, Broad Lane and Bradmore Road. The routes were revamped via surface dressing and micro-asphalt works, preventing oxidation and water ingress and extending the life of the carriageway for 8 or more years. Carrying out the works during the lockdown period meant the works were completed with minimal disruption and ahead of schedule.
A prestigious circle race planned for the Black Country has been cancelled due to coronavirus. A national road championship was due to take place on June 20th before the outbreak of COVID-19. Road races would have taken some of the British best cyclists past landmarks like Molyneux, Himley Hall and Dudley Castle. But council bosses are hoping the region can still host a similar event in the 2022 Commonwealth Games, which is taking place in Birmingham. A joint bid has been made by the four Black Country authorities to hold a 105-mile road race. An announcement on the bid is expected shortly.
Special thank you messages are appearing on roads in a Black Country borough in recognition of those on the front line during coronavirus. The message, which appears with the now iconic NHS rainbow, will be situated on 8 key roads in Dudley, thanking NHS, care and key workers. A number of the road messages will be located near hospitals in the borough, including Russell's Hall Hospital. It is hoped the message will help to remind residents of the need to stay home while letting those know on the front line how much people appreciate the work they're doing day after day. Messages are being printed on the Pedmore Road northbound, High Street in Pensnet, Kings Winford Road, Duncan Edwards Way, Birmingham Road into Dudley from Burntree, Birmingham New Road southbound, Vicarage Road in Amblecote Stourbridge and Tipton Road near to the junction of Mallows Road.
A Stourbridge-based firm has been praised for its kind donation of equipment to the Black Country Food Bank. Ashford Refrigeration Services has donated two large fridges to support the organisation's efforts during the coronavirus outbreak. The fridges will help boost its capacity to store chilled food safely before it is distributed to vulnerable residents around the borough and beyond. The Black Country Food Bank, with the support of Dudley Council and DCVS, Dudley Council for Voluntary Service, continues to help those affected who are struggling financially or unable to get out to the supermarket. Residents of all ages who are staying at home, as they are more vulnerable to the impact of COVID-19 or are self-isolating and have no family or community support or struggling financially, can contact 01384 573381 Monday to Friday from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. to arrange for a food parcel to be delivered. From the 18th of May, this number will change to 0300 330 152.
There has never been a more appropriate time to have a National Mental Health Awareness Week, 18th to the 24th of May. The extraordinary period in which we find ourselves has challenged even the most robust and resilient people. Yet, we have also seen the glimpses of humanity at its best. This year's the theme for the week is kindness. The Mental Health Foundation is hosting the week, and the website is full of useful resources, top tips, help and support. For some of us, however, kindness is not enough. If you or anyone you know is struggling with their mental health, the Black Country Healthcare NHS Foundation Trust Mental Health Support Helpline is available 24 hours, 7 days a week. For adults and children during the COVID-19 pandemic, call 0345 646 0827.
Construction of the £73 million Aquatic Centre in Smethwick is making good progress despite the coronavirus outbreak, council bosses say. Since the COVID-19 pandemic began, workers only stopped once for 24 hours back in March, so safety measures could be put in place for workers. The state-of-the-art facility, which will feature a 50-metre Olympic-sized swimming pool, is being built for the 2022 Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, where it will host diving events. Project bosses hope the Aquatic Centre will be finished by spring 2022. Construction work began in February. Alongside the Olympic-sized swimming pool and 25-metre diving pool, there will be a community swimming pool and permanent seating for 1,000 people. Additional seating is being brought in for the Commonwealth Games. Other facilities will include a dry dive area, activity studios, sports halls and a fitness suite. There will also be a football pitch and an urban park on site. After the Commonwealth Games, the Aquatic Centre will be available to use by the local community. Council bosses have heralded the site as a prized asset, but local residents have complained about the site's location on Londonderry playing fields.
Thanks, Christine. There's more local news to follow shortly, but now here's Mina with this week's quiz.
In this week's quiz is once again delve into events that happened on this week in history. Here are a few questions on some of the items coming up in our flashback section later in this week's Black Country Talking News. Are you ready? Okay, question one. Who formed the British Legion on this week in 1921? Question two. In what year was toilet paper with embossed patterns invented? Question three. What was the name of the famous glitzy pianist born on May the 19th, 1919? Question four. What items did people buy in 1910 which they hoped would protect them from a comet? Question five. What fashion item was first put on sale in 1939 and was a firm favourite for ladies? And finally, question six. In 1920, astronomer Thomas Gold said that the human race was evolved from what alien item? Now keep listening for the answers. If you miss them, don't panic. We'll let you know all the answers at the end of this week's edition. Good luck!
Thanks, Mina. But now with more local news, it's Angela.
Close to 3,000 City of Wolverhampton businesses have now received vital coronavirus support grants. More than £33 million has so far been distributed from the government's Small Business Grant Fund and Retail Hospitality and Leisure Grant Fund to 2,937 eligible city businesses by City of Wolverhampton Council since April 6. To date, over 87% of requests for funding have been paid, and there are currently a further 440 city businesses at various stages in the process working with the council. Eligible City Wolverhampton businesses who have not yet claimed their coronavirus business support grants are being urged to submit their online form.
More than 150 cases of people flouting lockdown rules have been reported in Wolverhampton. Although the majority of locals are following the government guidelines, a small number are not, and Wolverhampton Council, alongside West Midlands Police and Wolverhampton Homes, are working together to tackle this. As of Tuesday, May the 12th, since lockdown began, 156 reports have been made of people breaking the social distancing guidelines. A total of 235 advisory letters have been delivered to residents by police, and 4 official warning letters were also issued.
Wolverhampton Art Gallery and Council Library Services are inviting budding artists to submit images of lockdown-inspired art to include in special online exhibition called Art in Lockdown. Anyone who lives, works or studies in Wolverhampton is being asked to submit their creations reflecting on their experiences of life during the coronavirus crisis. Creative responses could include paintings, drawings, writing, craft or even music. To submit artwork, please send a high-resolution image or audio recording to art.gallery@wolverhampton.gov.uk by Sunday the 31st of May.
Children at Milking Bank Primary are jumping with joy at the creation of a new playing field for the school. The school currently does not have its own playing field or grassed area for sports or outdoor play. Children are able to use the adjacent recreation ground for special events such as sports day, but practicalities such as lack of access and ability to provide a permanent secure space for children to play means it can only be used occasionally. The school and governing body has worked closely with Dudley Council and Sport England to put in a proposal which will see a small section of the ground sufficient for under 13, under 14 size football pitch, which meets the Sport England's guidelines of 88 metres by 56 metres, allocated to the school. The rest of the recreation ground will still be fully accessible to the public and ensure sufficient space for a football pitch for community use should one be required. Children at the school took part in the planning application process, writing letters to the local authority to explain the importance of having their own sports field to keep active. Some of the Year 6 children presented their case at a public meeting in November. Key to the decision has been the importance of not only maintaining a sports pitch on a larger public space, but also to allow community use of the new school playing field outside of school hours. The new sports pitch will be separated from the main recreation ground by a 3-metre-high fence, which will also allow for sensitive planting of trees. The children will be able to access the new pitch freely, both for PE lessons, outdoor play at break and lunch times, and after-school activities.
A warning has been issued after a driver was spotted hitting 142 miles an hour on the M6 in Staffordshire. The driver was seen hitting the speeds on the M6. Officers from the Central Motorway Police Group made the discovery on Sunday. They said, "Unbelievable speed on the M6. We appreciate the road network is quieter, but an accident at these speeds would have had devastating consequences. This driver was delivering a new prestige vehicle to a customer and has previous speeding convictions in 2018 and 2019.
Community spirits have been raised by the creation of a Tree of Hope in a beauty spot. The tree at Bumble Hole Nature Reserve in Netherton has been created out of recycled materials at the site, including a large piece of metal dredged out of the canal. On the end of the branches of the tree are discs cut from small logs and decorated with a range of messages from people to their loved ones during lockdown and of messages of hope. The tree was designed and created by volunteer conservationist Brenda Myers, who said she thought it wouldn't last a week, but was surprised to see it still standing more than a month on. She said, "I just thought it would be really nice if, at this time, we got something for the regular visitors at Bumble Hole Nature Reserve to go and visit. I wanted to do something they could look at, which was a bit inspirational, so I thought, I'll make a tree. The tree is covered in positive messages to people during the coronavirus pandemic. Brenda said the messages were sent to her by the public, with a contact number being visible at the top of the tree, and she then created the discs for the tree. I love to go and see the kids looking at it and pointing to all the discs and finding their own disc, so it's nice to give people something to take comfort from.
Thanks, Christine. Now, last week we looked at the role canals played in the Black Country. This week we feature one of Dudley's most famous sporting icons. So let's join Steve now with this week's Black Country history.
COVID-19 has interrupted almost every aspect of our lives. It has also had a dramatic impact on sport here and across the world. The German Football League, the Bundesliga, recommenced this weekend after several weeks, with games played in empty stadiums with substitutes sat 2 metres apart wearing face masks, a sight unimaginable pre-COVID-19. There are also ongoing talks about how and when to recommence football here in England. Related to this theme, I'm going to talk about a football icon born and bred here in the Black Country, who would go on to play for England and Manchester United, Duncan Edwards. Duncan was born on the 1st of October 1936 in Dudley. His father, Gladstone, was a metal polisher for Joseph Sankey and Sons, and his mother, Sarah Ann, was a stay-at-home mom. Duncan's love for football began as a toddler, with his father recalling him kicking a ball up and down in the living room of their home before he could even walk, held up in a set of reins. Duncan attended primary school at the Priory. Dorothy Hayden, a near neighbour who attended the same school, remembered the boy whose only interest was football. If you ever wanted him, he was usually found on the waste ground at the back of the school playing football with anyone and everyone. Even at this young age, Duncan, who would later receive the nickname Big Dunk and the Tank, possessed an imposing figure. Dave Partridge, who played in the Priory school team with Duncan, noted, "He was a colossus. He was so big I could hide behind him." Following his move to Wolverhampton Street Secondary School, Duncan became part of a very successful folk dancing team, which he enjoyed very much. However, his two passions would clash in 1950. Duncan, at the age of 11, was selected for an England under-14 trial match against Northern Ireland. The trial, unfortunately, fell on the same day as the National Morris and Sword Dancing Festival. Duncan, after initial deliberation, headed to Oldham, where he was to claim his place in the England team. England would go on to win the game 5-2, with Duncan scoring in front of 18,000 spectators. It wasn't long before clubs were queuing up, including Wolverhampton Wanderers, Aston Villa, West Bromwich Albion and Birmingham City, with the former most fancying their chances. This was not only due to Duncan's father being a supporter, but also because they were regarded by many as the most glamorous team in the country during the early 1950s. However, it was Manchester United who would win the race for his signature. And it wasn't long after Duncan signed for the club that he would be making his first team debut. On Friday the 3rd of April 1953, Duncan, along with the boys of the ground staff, was busy with his daily chores, ensuring Old Trafford was spick and span for their following afternoon fixture against Cardiff City, when someone shouted, "Duncan, the boss wants to see you in his office." Duncan was instructed, "Go get your football boots, son. You're playing for the first team tomorrow." Duncan had broken into the first team and would retain his place, only called on for youth and reserve games when his presence was required. He was included in the youth team for the FA Cup semi-final and final games versus Wolverhampton Wanderers and West Bromwich Albion that season, ensuring they retained the trophy. Despite being eligible to play, the inclusion of a player of his calibre drew much criticism from opponents and the media alike, due to his outstanding ability. Busby, United's manager, responded that to suggest that because of his exceptional talent he should not play in youth games is, in my opinion, ridiculous. On the 24th of March 1954, Duncan played his first game for the England B team against Germany. In a report of a game, Desmond Hackett, a journalist, wrote, This Edwards is going to become the terror of the continent before he has even got down to serious shaving. By the 1954-55 season, he was a regular in the team, and by 2nd of April 1955, he would gain his first full international call-up against Scotland at Wembley, a 7-2 victory for England. In doing so, he'd become the youngest post-war international to represent England in a full international fixture. Despite achieving numerous accolades and great success at such a tender age, Duncan remained modest, continuing to ride to games on his old rally bike, stopping to sign autographs for fans. When he returned home in 1954, he was already a star in Dudley, but he did not relish the fame. Although he would stop for handshakes and to sign autographs, he would often go fishing somewhere remote to escape the unwanted attention. In the summer of 1955, Duncan was called up for 2 years mandatory national service, but was granted leave on weekends to play for United. United would go on to win the league that season, with Duncan a pivotal part of the team. At the end of the season, England would play the world champions, West Germany, and despite the odds, run out winners. Duncan was outstanding in that game, running from his own half and powering an effort past the opposition goalkeeper, earning the nickname Boom Boom Edwards by their fans and their press because of the big Bertha shot in his boots. A big Bertha, or a howitzer, was a naval cannon used by the German army in the First World War. By 1956, Duncan would go on to be recognised by journalists as the third best player in the world, despite his tender age. However, Duncan's meteoric rise would sadly end when, following a game in Belgrade, the team's plane slid sideways and through a fence, with the port wing smashing through a house, both setting on fire. The plane then collided with a hut containing a vehicle and fuel, which immediately exploded. 7 players and 14 other passengers died at the scene. Duncan was taken to hospital with multiple leg fractures, fractured ribs, and severely damaged kidneys. After a 15-day battle to save his life, he sadly passed away on the 21st of February 1958, aged 21. Over 5,000 people lined the streets for his funeral. His legacy lives on, and a statue can be found of him in Dudley Town Centre.
Thanks, Steve. Let's get some more local news now with Christine.
Staggered journey times are among the plans to ease pressure on train services as lockdown measures are relaxed, says West Midlands Mayor Andy Street. There will not be enough train services to ensure people can social distance safely if the measures remain in place when the economy is fully reopened, the West Midlands Mayor has warned. Said there would need to be a strategy for how people travel when everyone goes back to work. It has been suggested that social distancing measures could remain in place for a year or more, which will be problematic for public transport bosses used to running crowded trains and trams. Extra trains are being put on from Monday, while more buses are also expected to hit the roads. The mayor said the intention was to steadily increase transport services to give commuters confidence that they are safe. However, for now, people are being urged to avoid public transport unless necessary.
Wolverhampton's One City Fund has moved into the next stage of the crowdfunding project. The new Feeding Our City Fund will raise vital money for local food banks. Crowdfunding initiative, a collaboration between the City of Wolverhampton Council, Wolverhampton Voluntary Sector Council, WVCS, and several organisations from across Wolverhampton, is aimed at supporting struggling city families during the current coronavirus emergency. The Feeding Our City Fund initially aims to raise £20,000 for local food banks and emergency food distribution. Once £20,000 is reached, 60% will be distributed to partner organisations and 40% will go to other grassroots organisations supplying emergency food to the community during the crisis.
Hundreds more readers in Wolverhampton are discovering the joys of online e-books and e-audiobooks. while the libraries are closed due to the coronavirus emergency. Since the lockdown began, more than 700 people have joined or restarted their library membership to get the latest best-selling e-books and e-audiobooks for children and adults for free via BorrowBox. Titles can be borrowed via any Apple iOS and Google Android phone, tablet or computer.
Dudley Council is offering advice and guidance to food distributors who are supporting the borough's most vulnerable during the coronavirus outbreak. Since the outbreak took hold in this country, the borough has seen a number of kind-hearted individuals and businesses introduce new ways of working to support those residents in the borough who many need to self-isolate or shield from the public. This includes organisations which have turned their hand to delivering food parcels or essential items. Some food businesses have also changed from offering eat-in to take-away services in line with government restrictions and guidelines. To ensure safety, some of these organisations may need to be registered, and the council's environmental health team is able to help them through this process. For more information, call Dudley Council Plus on 0300 555 2345 and ask to speak to the food team.
A famous Doctor Who villain is patrolling a street in the Black Country to ensure coronavirus is exterminated. The classic-style Dalek, which has been seen on High Park Crescent in Sedgley, is being used by fan Gavin Priest to help uplift people's spirits. And instead of its usual catchphrase, the iconic villain is promoting coronavirus guidance, including telling people to isolate. Gavin said, "I'm a big Doctor Who fan, and it was always my life's ambition to own a Dalek. I got my hands on one a few years ago, and the road I'm on is quiet and flat, so it's been fun to go out in it. It's motorised, so you are sitting on a chair and then operating the rest of it, like the eye stalk and the gun. And there's a voice modulator in it too, so it alters your voice as you talk, and the dome lights flash as well. It's been saying, isolate, isolate, or stay alert. I didn't want to preach the rules to people. It's just a bit of fun. I've said to some people the virus might be exterminated and that it's a message from Dalek Command. People have been just smiling at it. It's a bit of fun and it's an excuse for me to indulge in what I love."
People have been urged to remain vigilant after a rising car theft in Wolverhampton despite lockdown. Officers in Eddyshaw made the plea and asked people to attach any additional security to their cars: steering locks, gear stick locks and wheel clamps. A spokesman said, "We are asking all car owners to be very vigilant at this time. Whatever additional security can be added to your cars at the moment will go a long way to help. Ford EcoBoosts are popular with car thieves and owners should be extra vigilant," police have said. Anyone with any information is asked to call 101 or email eddyshaw@west-midlands.pnn.police.uk.
Thanks, Angela. Our local news roundup coming next, but now with our regular Talking Book review, it's Talking Book Steve.
Hi everybody, it's me, Stephen Terry, and welcome to this week's audio book review section of the Black Country Talking newspaper. This week I thought we'd take a look at a fabulous book called A Short History of Nearly Everything by the fabulous Bill Bryson, narrated by the man himself. So, A Short History of Nearly Everything is Bill Bryson's quest to find out everything that happened from the Big Bang to the rise of civilization. How we got from there being nothing at all to here being us. His challenge is to take subjects that normally bore the pants off most of us and see if there isn't some way to render them comprehensible enough for people who have never, ever thought they could be interested in science. It's not so much about what we know as about how we know what we know. How do we know what is at the centre of the Earth? Or what a black hole is? Or where the continents were 600 million years ago? And how did anyone ever figure these things out? On his travels through time and space, Bill Bryson takes us with him on the ultimate eye-opening journey and reveals the world in a way most of us have never, ever seen it before. Great read, great listen, and I'd strongly recommend you taking a listen. It lasts about 5.5 hours, so I'll keep you occupied for a little bit longer during lockdown. Stay safe, everybody, and keep well. Cheers for now. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Steve. Time for our final local news roundup now with Ian.
City of Wolverhampton Council has reopened its Anchor Lane Household Waste Recycling Centre. Residents are urged to only make essential trips to the tip, which means taking items that cannot be safely stored at home. A strict social distancing policy will be in operation at the site to ensure the safety of visitors and staff. There could potentially be lengthy traffic queues at the site, and residents will require 2 forms of ID to gain access. Residents must not visit the site if they or members of their household are showing symptoms of coronavirus.
Some businesses have turned down government coronavirus support grants, while others have blanked through repeated requests to get them to apply, a local authority has said. More than 45 million in coronavirus support grants have been left unclaimed by businesses in Sandwell, including West Bromwich. Sandwell Council has one of the worst of any local authorities in the country when it comes to paying out small business grants, which were launched by ministers to help firms survive the coronavirus lockdown. According to official data, the council has paid out to around 40% of companies, leaving millions unclaimed. But the authority has today hit back, saying it has processed almost 70% of grants requested by businesses. Bosses say a number of firms have said they don't need support, while others have failed to respond to council efforts encouraging them to apply. At the start of the month, council wrote to thousands of businesses in a bid to process and verify claims. It did not hold bank details for 96% of the firms believed to be eligible, as they did not pay their rates by direct debit, bosses say. The council said grants worth £34.4 million have been paid to more than 3,000 businesses.
Local organisations and community groups helping the vulnerable in the Dudley Borough during the coronavirus pandemic are being urged to apply for a slice of a new £200,000 cash pot. West Midlands Police and Crime Commissioner David Jamieson has made the funds available over the next 6 months following a surge in voluntary and community activity to help those most at risk. The new Community Initiatives Fund, which came into effect last week, is being funded from money seized from criminals under the Proceeds of Crime Act. Community organisations can bid for funding of up to £5,000.
Eager tennis players in Stourbridge have smashed their way back onto the court as lockdown restrictions eased. Members of Wollaston Lawn Tennis Club have keenly picked up their rackets after government guidelines changed to allow people to take part in some outdoor sports with members of their own households. Strict social distancing rules have been laid down by the club, and players are raring to go, nearly 2 months after COVID-19 restrictions forced them to lay down their rackets. Members were invited to start booking slots on the club's 8 courts from last week. Boris Johnson, himself a keen tennis player, has announced that some outdoor sports, also including golf, can now go ahead provided people play with members of their own family or one other person from a different household. That means that non-family members can play singles tennis together provided they keep at least 2 metres apart at all times.
Care providers across Dudley Borough will receive a multi-million cash boost this week to support them during the coronavirus outbreak. Providers will receive a share of £2.5 million to help them through the crisis, supporting vital work in caring for some of the borough's most vulnerable residents. Payments will be fast-tracked to help ease the financial burden of this crisis, with payments commencing this week. The funding is as a result of a governmental financial support to councils during the COVID-19 period. In addition, council staff continue to work closely with care providers to assess their needs and provide additional support where needed. People can find out more about council services and support available during the pandemic at www.dudley.gov.uk/coronavirus.
The family of an Albion fan who was placed into a coma after contracting coronavirus believe he would not be alive today if it wasn't for the incredible support he received from the club. Peter George began showing symptoms of COVID-19 at the beginning of March, which developed into pneumonia. That saw the 65-year-old admitted to the ITU at the Alexandra Hospital in Redditch, where he had to be placed on a ventilator and into an induced coma. His wife, Teresa, then received a phone call to say her husband's organs were failing and she would have to say goodbye to her husband. Peter was put on dialysis, which improved his condition slightly, but he was still showing no signs of coming out of his coma. He then contracted deep vein thrombosis, with doctors putting his survival chances at just 30%. It was at this point Teresa wondered if Peter's love for the Albion could stimulate her husband. "I had an idea to play him Insomnia by Faithless, the song that Albion ran out to," Mrs. George said. "As a family, the hospital was allowing us to see him by video, calling him every day. We were all looking back at him and talking to him, but we were getting nothing back. It was like talking to a brick wall. We played Insomnia and got a slight movement. And then my nephew, Robert, contacted Rob Lake at the Albion Foundation. Having spoken to the family, both Albion and the West Brom Former Players Association stepped in with Bob Taylor, Chris Brunt and Slaven Bilic all recording messages for Peter to listen to, and his response was incredible. They sent us messages from Bob Taylor and Chris Brunt and one from Slaven Bilic the following day," Mrs. George from Redditch continued. "We played them to Peter and his arms and legs started moving. The nurses actually had to restrain him. It was amazing. Mr. George woke from his coma, but he was so weak he had to be placed back into it. But Jeff Snape from the West Brom Former Players Association made sure he received a phone call from one of his idols every day. And now the season ticket holder is back home and looking forward to returning to the Hawthorns. Effectively, we ended up back at square one, so we kept playing the messages Jeff sent us," Mrs. George said. "I believe it brought Pete back. He was in a place where he didn't know how to get back, and it was those messages that boosted him. He can't believe people of such standing would contact him. He can't believe the players he adores have taken the time to contact him. To be part of the Baggies family is amazing, and we cannot thank them all enough. It's things like this that make West Brom special. They are a special club who produce special footballers. And they have all said the same thing. They received fantastic support when they were playing, and now they want to give that support back to Pete. They haven't done it for a photo opportunity or money. They've done it because they have a genuine love for their fans. We feel very lucky to be part of the Albion family. I honestly don't believe we would have got the same support from any other club."
Thanks, Christine. Now here's Pete with our sight loss section.
Do you know someone who, when reading, has difficulty with black writing on white paper? You can sometimes misread words, have problems tracking from line to line, can skip words or lines, prefers reading in dim light, says that words can jump around on a page, can read slowly or hesitantly, often needs to take breaks, can lose their place, and will sometimes just avoid reading altogether. Well, if you do, these symptoms could be something called Erlin syndrome, sometimes known as visual stress. It's a processing disorder. It's not a problem with someone's eyes. It's the brain's ability to process visual information. It was discovered in the 1980s by Helen Erlin, a Californian psychologist. She was talking to a group of adults who had severe reading difficulties, and their comments prompted her to ask them what the page looked like to them when they were reading. And they described how the letters on the page seemed to move around and the white page strained their eyes, and how they saw streaks of white on the page, and how the print went blurry and often saw ghosting of letters. And other people listening were saying, "Well, that's what I see too." So this problem does tend to run in families and is not currently identified by other educational or medical tests. Symptoms may be first noticed in childhood and often not diagnosed, but affect people throughout their lives. Studies have since shown that 12 to 15% of the population are affected by Irlen syndrome, with around 50% of children and adults with reading, learning or attention problems having Irlen syndrome. It is possible for someone to suffer from both dyslexia and Irlen syndrome, with many of the symptoms being similar. It's not an obvious problem. Sufferers think what they experience is normal and assume that everyone else perceives print and the environment as they do, and also experience the same physical discomfort. People with Irlen syndrome have overactive brains that work extra hard to try and make sense of the visual information, and this overactivity causes the symptoms often associated with the condition. It can affect academic and work performance, behaviour, attention, the ability to sit still, and concentration. Print looks different, the environment looks different, and cause eye strain, fatigue, headaches or nausea, difficulty copying, poor depth perception, difficulty with glare and bright lights, low motivation and low self-esteem. Other symptoms can be unequal spacing, unequal letter size, writing up or downhill, inconsistent spelling, strain or fatigue from computer use, ineffective use of study time, a lack of motivation, and grades often not reflecting the amount of effort or ability a child has put in. Now, Irlen syndrome can be particularly difficult for children at school. However, the symptoms and difficulties can be enormously helped by the use of the correct coloured paper and overlays and the use of coloured filters, worn as glasses or contact lenses, following a thorough assessment and colour evaluation by a trained Irlen specialist. This calms and normalises the brain activity, improving performance and ability to function. So, because a child at school has difficulty concentrating, can get easily distracted, needs to stay focused and try harder, it may not be down to their ability or effort. Remember, 12 to 15% of the population are affected by Irlen syndrome, so it may be worth investigating.
Thanks, Pete. More sightless information to come next week. The answers to our quiz follow next, but first with this week's flashback section, it's Roger.
This is our flashback section where we look at events that happened this week in history and where you will find the answers to the quiz questions set earlier. On the 17th of May 1921 saw the formation of the British Legion by Earl Haig, who was also known as the Butcher of the Somme. It brought together four national organisations of ex-servicemen that had established themselves after the Great War of 1914-1918. And on the same day in 1990, home-produced beef was banned in UK schools and hospitals as a result of concern over mad cow disease, which they called BSE for short. Then in 1893, on May the 18th, Seth Wheeler, the inventor of perforated toilet paper, receives another toilet paper patent, this time for the process of ornamenting paper to create decorative toilet paper. This was done by wrinkling the surface so as to produce permanent raised and sunken portions on the surface of the paper. And personally, I don't like the ones at Christmas that have holly on them. Uncomfortable. On May the 19th, 1919, flamboyant American pianist Liberace was born. He captivated audience with his extravagant costumes and elaborate candelabra. His television show, The Liberace Show, which ran from 1952 to 1969, was an instant hit. His real name, by the way, was, Ladislav Valentino Liberace, I think. Anyway, on May the 20th, 1910, Earth passes through the tail of Halley's Comet. The comet's tail was known to contain the toxic gas cyanogen, which led to many to believe that life on Earth would die. This caused panic buying of gas masks and quack anti-comet pills and anti-comet umbrellas. Nothing changes, does it? On May the 22nd, in 1920, Austrian-born astronomer Thomas Gold, who established the steady-state theory of the universe, which has since proven wrong, also proposed a garbage theory, which was the origin, in his opinion, of life on Earth, which was spread from a pile of waste products dumped on Earth long ago by extraterrestrials. Well, now that must be a case of intergalactic fly-tipping, if ever I've heard one. On May the 23rd, 1934, nylon is invented by Dr. Wallace Carruthers of the E.I. DuPont Company. Its first commercial use was in 1938 for toothbrush bristles. I didn't know that. But nylon stockings went on sale in 1939. Good luck with the quiz.
Thanks, Roger. Watch out for the holly. Now it's time for some environmental and sustainability ideas with Kez.
Whether you love spending time in the kitchen or not, there are lots of ways that you can be more eco-friendly in this room. Today, I'm going to talk about my favourite three ways to be more eco-conscious in the kitchen. First up, when doing the dishes by hand, why not switch to using loofah slices to replace your dish sponge? Unlike the dish sponges that many of us use, which have a plastic component to them and so need to be thrown into the bin at the end of their life, loofah slices can be disposed of in the compost bin due to being the fruit of a plant. Added to this, they don't shed plastics when we're using them. If you've got a greenhouse and time, you can even grow your own loofah. My second tip is ditching the cling film in place of beeswax wraps or a vegan wax wrap. Wax wraps are reusable, can be used in almost the same way as cling film. The most notable exception is they cannot be used with raw meats or in situations where they'll get hot, and can be purchased from a wide range of online and high street shops. They're available in a wide range of sizes to suit your needs, so you can get small ones for your cheese, larger ones for your bread, and you can also make them really easily at home following the instructions available online. Finally, and perhaps my favourite option for making eco changes in the kitchen is reusable kitchen towels, which I now use instead of kitchen paper. Personally, I make my own out of old hand and bath towels, which I cut up and stitch on my sewing machine, either with a simple stitched edge or with a cotton backing to make it multi-purpose and look a little bit nicer. Making the switch to a reusable kitchen towel reduces waste and reuses end-of-life towels that would otherwise be destined for the scrap bag. There are plenty of other changes that you can make around the kitchen that I've not covered here. So this includes things like changing the cleaning products that you're using to ones that are more eco-friendly, and changing the way you use and consume water.
Thanks, Kez. There's more environmental and sustainability ideas coming up from Kez in a couple of weeks' time. But if you missed them earlier, let's go through all the answers to the quiz now with Mina.
Okay, here I am with the answers for our quiz. Question one. Who formed the British Legion in 1921? The answer is Earl Haig, who had been a high-ranking officer during the Great War of 1914 to 1918. Question 2. What year was the toilet paper with embossed patterns invented? Did anybody get this answer? The answer is 1893 by Seth Wheeler, who also invented loo rolls with perforations earlier in the decade. Now, I didn't actually know that. Question 3. Which famous glitzy pianist entertainer was born on May the 19th in 1919? The answer is Liberace, of course, whose performance on his gem-encrusted piano and his candelabra wowed audiences on TV for nearly 20 years. Question 4. In May 1910, a comet caused people on Earth to panic buy. What things that they thought would save them from the celestial threat? The answer is anti-comet umbrellas, anti-comet pills and gas masks. Question 5. What went on sale for the first time in 1939 and which became a firm favourite for ladies? The answer is nylon stockings, which sought after from the GIS who were stationed in Britain from America during the war. And finally, question 6. In what year did an astronomer theories that life on Earth evolved from alien rubbish? The answer is 1920 by Thomas Golding, who made other theories which were lately wildly disputed.
Did you get them all? Don't worry, I didn't. We have another brain teaser for you shortly to test you again. And there's another bank holiday weekend coming up. So what's the weather have in store for us? And how much extra daylight can we expect? Here's Mina again to tell us all.
The sunrise and sunset times for this week ahead are sunrise 5 a.m, sunset 21:11 p.m. That's another 18 minutes of daylight from last week. More fine weather by the looks of things. I'm looking out the window right now and I can see a blue sky with bright sunshine. So the bank holiday ahead looks very nice too. On Friday 22nd of May, sunny intervals and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 18 degrees. Moving on to Saturday 23rd of May, we have sunny intervals and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 17 degrees. And Sunday 24th of May, we have sunny intervals and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 20 degrees. Now, bank holiday Monday, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 23 degrees. Now, that sounds like good weather for a barbecue. Tuesday 26th of May, sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 22 degrees. Now, moving on to Wednesday 27th of May, we have sunny intervals, a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 21 degrees. Now, Thursday 28th of May, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 19 degrees. Stay well and enjoy the weather.
Thanks, Mina. Now, that's not quite it for this week, so don't go anywhere. First, let's have our regular update from Beacon with Helen.
As usual, we hope all our listeners and their families are keeping well. It's been a lovely few days weather-wise, and we hope you've been able to enjoy it. If you can get out of a house, we'd love to hear from you about what you've been up to. Have you been able to take advantage of the changes to lockdown restrictions? Get in touch via supportus@beaconvision.org and let us know. Now, did you know that this May is Local History and Community Month, and we want to know your favourite stories about the Beacon Centre? We've been supporting people since 1875, and 10 years ago, our amazing local community helped us raise enough money to build our current Sedgley Centre, where it's stood strong ever since. Beacon has been in Sedgley for more than 50 years, and way back in 1899, we were even one of the first charities in the country to open a retail shop. We really hope we can still be around for more years to come, helping people. But as you know, we have been hit hard by coronavirus, losing £25,000 per week. Lots of you have mentioned a connection to Beacon when making a donation in these past few weeks, from having a relative who used to attend, or a volunteer who worked in the shop. It's really made us smile. So, in honour of Community History Month, we'd love to see a bit of nostalgia. If you have any pictures, stories or memories from over the years that you'd like to share with us, we'd really love to hear from you. Send them in via supportus@beaconvision.org, or you can ring us on 01902 880 111. As usual, our fundraising team has also been busy coming up with new ways to try and help raise vital funds, so that we can carry on supporting those who need us most at the moment. So this week, Beacon has launched our new virtual collection box. With lockdown continuing and with our loose change collection boxes standing unused, we're asking if you could donate the cost of your weekly coffee and cake, or the cost of your gel manicure, or even a tank of petrol that you haven't had to use. All donations are gratefully received and will go towards the Beacon Crisis Fund. Donating is easy. Just visit www.justgiving.com/campaign/Beacon Virtual Collection Box. That's www.justgiving.com/campaign/Beacon Virtual Collection Box. Take care, stay safe.
Thanks, Helen. And thank you for listening to this week's Black Country Talking News. If you'd like to contribute to the Talking News with a poem, a talking book review, a sight loss tip you'd like to pass on to others, someone you'd like to wish a happy birthday to, or even just say hello to, then send us an email on bctn@beaconvision.org or give us a call on 01902 880111. Have a good week, stay safe, and we'll be back next week. Now to finish off, here's a brain teaser from Pete. Ta-ra.
Now this week, I thought we'd finish with a bit of a brain teaser for you. So let's see if we can test you a little bit here. So see what you make of this. It's called egg exercise. Okay, you ready? Every day, Farmer Jones has 2 eggs for his breakfast. But he does not keep chickens. No one gives him the eggs, and he does not buy, beg, borrow, or steal them. So how does he manage to have 2 eggs for breakfast every day? I'll just give you that again. Every day, Farmer Jones has 2 eggs for his breakfast, but he does not keep chickens. No one gives him the eggs, and he does not buy, beg, borrow, or steal them. So how does he manage to have 2 eggs for breakfast every day? I'll give you the answer at the start of next week's Black Country Talking News. Something to think about. Q Simon.
So that's it for another edition of Black Country Talking News. If you would like to contact us, you can do so by calling us on 01902 880111, emailing us at bctn@beaconvision.org, or send a letter to Black Country Talking News, Beacon Centre, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV46AZ. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers, who without their support we'd be unable to run this free service. So it's goodbye from all of us, and please note that the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News, and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods or services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors.